Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
Do new security procedures make you feel safer when you're flying?
We're still statistically much more likely to get in an accident before getting on the plane than a terrorist incident occurring on the plane. So yes, I feel very safe traveling on the plane.
Sure, it's minor inconveniences for us, but if you grew up in Cuba, Pakistan, or Saudi Arabia, you face body scans that reveal your naked silhouette and TSA agents patting down your arms and legs. Definitely more likely to disclose an underwear bomb than a metal detector, but only if you travel from Yemen or 13 other countries. Underwear from Britain is fine.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train.
Give me a ticket, but not from Yemen, on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, January 5th, and The Takeaway here is, are we heading towards actually sealing our borders and just not letting anyone in? I mean, realistically, you can't cover every possible avenue for terrorism.
I wonder what a pat-down for Joe Cocker would actually look like, you know, listening to that music. Let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. We're learning more about the suicide bomber who killed 7 CIA officers in Afghanistan last week. He was reportedly a Jordanian doctor recruited by Jordanian intelligence and taken to the CIA base in hopes he could infiltrate Al-Qaeda's high command. It turned out quite differently. The bomber was apparently a double agent. He blew himself up at the meeting, killing 7 CIA officers and a Jordanian spy. Last night, a senior intelligence official for NATO released a report saying the CIA is not doing enough to win the war in Afghanistan. The report says intelligence analysts don't know enough about the Afghan people, their economy, and the power brokers there.
The White House is taking steps to improve its intelligence on airline security. Deputy White House Press Secretary Bill Burton says officials have been combing through the nation's database of possible terror suspects since the Christmas Day attempted bombing of a U.S. plane.
Probably thousands upon thousands upon thousands of names were scrubbed, and probably dozens were moved to different lists.
Those different lists include the no-fly and terror watch lists. That comes on top of the new security procedures now in place, as this international traveler arriving at Newark Airport describes.
You had to take off your coat. They went through your bag. They did a body check. There was a line for women, a line for men. But it wasn't bad. Everybody was very polite.
For more now on the international reaction to new security measures, we're joined by Nuala McGovern, host of BBC's World Have Your Say. Good morning, Nuala.
Good morning, Celeste.
You spent a program, you've been collecting voices from around the world responding to these new security procedures. What's the sense from the people you talk to? Is it outrage or is there acceptance?
I think there's really a variety of opinion, and it depends who you speak to. I think it runs the gamut of emotions. We did hear about shock and outrage and embarrassment from one TV host in Nigeria who says that they cannot believe that, there's a change in policy in a list of 14 countries due to one Nigerian would-be bomber. We also had Todd in Atlanta who thought, you know, cut to the chase, let's just all go through security in our underwear if that helps things. And meanwhile, Shikot in Karachi, he believes the U.S. is being a paranoid nation and wouldn't be surprised if brain scanning is next.
Do you think this is going to keep people from traveling to the U.S. or is this going to all blow over?
I think it's difficult to say just yet. I know I think people will continue to travel and probably try it out. There is a great deal of resentment out there. And probably the main thing is a great deal of uncertainty of exactly how effective the new security checks will be.
Okay, Nuala McGovern, stay with us. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Here at home, a domestic headline, what's the cost of health care? Spending rose 4.4% in 2008 to more than $7,000 per person. That's the smallest increase since spending was first tracked 50 years ago. The recession is apparently the culprit.
Futures are down. The Dow's going to get underway at 10,583, and the S&P will open at 1,132. The Nasdaq starts at 2,308.
Considered an internship in these hard economic times. We're going to talk about that in our work segment later on in the program. And governments are looking at those new measures to make flying safer. What do you think about the restrictions?
The new airline regulations, when you can access your carry-on bags and things you can use and, you know, within 1 hour of destination, totally ridiculous. So you do it an hour and a half before your destination.
But one of our guests this morning says we should interview every passenger before boarding every single flight. How far is too far? Reach us at 8778-MYTAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
good morning. On the BBC interactive program called World Have Your Say, people from all over the world have been responding to the new airline regulations. Here's Shakat from Karachi, Pakistan.
The funny part of it, the people that I've spoken to here in Karachi, and this is just evidence of the paranoia, they say, and this will never end. Today is profiling, tomorrow is going to be brain scanning, tomorrow, third day is going to be bracelets, electronic bracelets and all that. There's just no end to it.
Pakistan is one of 14 nations on the list that the United States now considers to be at-risk nations, where the citizens of those countries are going to have to face tighter security restrictions at airports. We're joined now by Eric Lipton, Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. And Eric can explain these restrictions and how they work to us. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
So walk me through this process. For example, if I hold a Nigerian passport, I'm going to be checked at every single U.S.-bound flight?
That's the intention that the Transportation Security Administration has, and it has imposed that upon airlines that fly to the United States. It's essentially told them that if you want the privilege to fly to the United States, any time that you have a passenger that's boarding your flight from any of these 14 countries, that individual must be patted down and their carry-on bag must be double-checked, usually at the gate, before they can enter the plane.
Okay, so what if I'm an American citizen, if I'm me, and let's say I start in Israel and I'm flying to the U.S., but I have a quick stop over in Sudan, then what happens?
Well, then you would be included in this net of people who would be subject to the mandatory additional check. So it is anyone who is a citizen of any of those 14 countries, as well as anyone who is taking a flight that originates from or passes through any of those 14 countries. So you then would be subject to the mandatory additional screening.
Okay, there's been obviously a lot of criticism from these 14 countries that are on the list. What kind of criticism is all about profiling?
Well, the response that I heard from some diplomats who represent those countries, for example, the ambassador to Algeria, is that, and also from in Nigeria and in Pakistan, I heard criticism, is that essentially you're suggesting that every one of the citizens of our country is a suspect, and that the presumption here is that simply because there are some people who have at some point been associated with our country that, you know, perhaps were related to Al-Qaeda, that therefore everyone in our country should be essentially considered a suspect. What? And that they consider that offensive, and that the real answer here is to have a robust security system and robust intelligence program that prevents a terrorist from getting on planes, not to sort of look at all citizens of a country as being potentially a terrorist.
Well, but Eric, that's what I'm not clear on. What is the official language here? Are they calling these countries at risk, or are they calling them the axis of annoyance, the 14 nations?
Well, it's an interesting term that they use. They call them countries of interest. Ah. That's the term that they use. It's a sort of a gentle way of saying, you know, countries where we think terrorists may be.
Okay, so the question is, they make a distinction, though, between the four countries that they say sponsor terrorism and those countries that are of interest because they have terrorist camps originating?
Yeah, well, so the list is made up of two parts. One is countries that are officials, what they call state sponsors of terrorism. It's a list that's made up by the State Department, and that includes countries like Iran and Cuba and Sudan, and then there's the other countries that are the countries of interest, that at some point there has been Al-Qaeda presumably associated with being present in those countries or being affiliated with people who are from those countries. It's much more ambiguous exactly how you get on that list.
Okay, Eric Lipton, thanks so much. He's a Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. And as Eric was talking about, the criticism is that clearly most of the people that live in these nations are not affiliated with terrorism, nor are they have any plans of causing any kind of violent act on flights to the United States. Back with us is Nuala McGovern, host of BBC's World Have Your Say. And Nuala, you heard all kinds of people from all over the world. I wanted to listen to Susanna from Kingston, Jamaica.
I was profiled. I was searched four times before I left Kingston, Jamaica. I was searched when I reached the airport, when I reached the end of the corridor to get on the plane, when I came off the plane, because obviously I might have gotten off the plane in midair and done something. Nobody else was searched.
Clearly she's a little bit ironic about the fact of her threat as a terrorist suspect.
She is indeed. And in fact, Susanna went on to say that she weighs 100 pounds. And if she had her coin in her pocket, you could see the date on it. So she didn't think that. She thought they were unfairly profiling her. And one of the really interesting points I thought which came up last night was this whole idea of a substitution strategy. And what that means really is if you profile certain nationalities or a certain group of people, will the people who are then trying to commit terrorist acts then just go to a different group, to somebody that you're not expecting to profile? I thought it was quite interesting. We had one commenter, Ibrahim, in the UK, who really thought this, that they would just then go outside of their group. He mentioned Egyptians and Jordanians not being on the list. And funny enough, one of the main stories this morning, of course, is the CIA double agent who in fact turned out to be Jordanian. So I thought that was quite interesting. And we couldn't seem to come to an agreement with the different people who were calling about whether a substitution strategy would really happen or not. One person said, how many female Swedish Quaker terrorists have you met? So the debate went
deep
on.
Deep sleeper cell, I guess that would be.
I guess so.
You know, Nuala, I think I was also surprised by the some of the people who called in and talked about getting extra screening for kind of strange reasons. This is Vivian calling from Spain.
In my case, the unusual was that I was resident in Paris at the time, but my ticket had been purchased in Frankfurt. So immediately, I go into a category that merits having questions. I was taken into a room. All my clothes were removed.
And that's where that comment ends. So I guess we're supposed to guess what happened after all of his clothes were removed.
He said he had like one little something on his passport that then kind of triggered him to get checked. But he did seem to have a problem with that. I mean, the searches are a big part of it. The one thing is the Nigerian would-be bomber last week, even if he had the full pat-down, etc., that they're now bringing in, it still wouldn't have detected the bomb. Number two, we had Pat Brown, who's in favour of profiling, and she said she feels Italian authorities do it really well and that she was frisked so completely that she felt she was dating the woman by the end of it. Mm. However, this is a thing. How far can searches go, or should the argument be more towards searches instead of profiling a certain nationality?
Was there any sympathy with the American feeling that they're unsafe, that there's a terrorist threat on the airlines?
Oh, yes, there was. There was indeed. Some people thought that, let's do it. It's going to take an extra 15 minutes. Other people, of course, particularly those on this list, felt targeted.
Okay, Nuala McGovern, host of the BBC's interactive show, The World Have Your Say. Thanks so much for joining us. It's 15 minutes now. Let's take a look at the headlines.
Well, plenty of Americans would probably say, if people don't come here, that's a sign of success of the program in some ways. There's an isolationism in the United States that's longstanding. The U.S. Embassy in Yemen, in the headline, says it's reopening its doors now. The embassy closed Sunday because of threats from al-Qaeda. Today, the embassy says actions taken by the Yemeni authorities have allowed the embassy to reopen. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had mixed words for Yemen's government. She praised the country for the recent actions it's taken to disrupt al-Qaeda, but said more is still needed to be done.
It's time for the international community to make it clear to Yemen that there are expectations and conditions on our continuing support for the government.
Government's concerned about health care here in the United States. The effort to merge the House and Senate health care bills is returning to center stage. Democrats say there are no plans to appoint a formal House-Senate conference committee. It's the method Congress most often uses to reconcile differing bills. The move is intended to block Republicans from delaying the bill procedurally.
Another round of recommendations on breast health. The American College of Radiology and the Society of Breast Imaging says mammograms should begin at the age of 40 for women with average cancer risk. It's a rebuttal to guidelines issued in November by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force that recommended against routine mammograms for women in their 40s. And if you're unhappy at your job, you're not alone. A new survey by the Conference Board suggests only 45% of Americans are satisfied with their work. That's the lowest level recorded by the research group in 22 years. That's a look at some of the stories that we're watching this morning. Coming up, oil prices going through the roof. How's that going to affect your heating bill? We'll talk about it in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.